Hi, I'm Carlos Alberto from FNR. Before you listen to this podcast, just give me a sec. You know, we wouldn't be around if it wasn't for the support of Andrew Mavridis and his team at Systema. If you need an IT system, and everyone does, contact Systema and book in a free $1,500 network appraisal. That's right, a free $1,500 network appraisal. Give them a call on 03-8353-0520. That's 03-8353-0520. Systema love football and they love FNR. So support them. Cheers, amigo. Let you get back to the podcast.
Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to a terrific Thursday. You're on FNR Football Nation Radio, Australia's first and only 24-hour radio station dedicated to the beautiful, beautiful game of football. I'm Carlos Alberto Diego, and this is Calcio Cafe, Australia's only 24-hour radio station that has a breakfast show that's dedicated to football across Australia. We are, of course, your voice of football, and you can join the conversation anytime today on 03-99-44-99-99. That's 03-99-44-99-99. Our SMS number is 0428 933 345 for any of your thoughts and comments. And of course, you can join in the conversation also on Twitter at FNR_radio. And those people who want to join in the conversation, with thanks to our great friends at Ital, you can win the premium packed Ital Colomba, along with Ital's new improved Greek Kouladakia, the egg twist biscuit, for the best caller on any of our live shows today. Of course, the number 03-99-44-99-99. It's a big, big morning in the cafe this morning. We'll catch up with Richard Bayliss from Optus Sports. He joins us to chat all things EPL. In Club Corner, we chat to Leo DePretis, the chairman of the Cove FC in Adelaide. We also catch up with Adelaide United youth team coach Paul Pezos in Planet NPL. And in Power and the Passion, we catch up with Bill Magarelli for Avondale FC, who joins us to chat about a number of initiatives the club's involved with at the moment. Really exciting stuff there at Avondale FC. We'll talk to Billy about that. And, of course, FNR's very own Adriano Del Monte will join us to talk about the UEFA Champions League that is in progress this morning and much, much more. So let's get into it.
Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
FNR. Football Nation Radio.
Yes, of course, the UEFA Champions League has started this morning. We've been playing a number of games over the last couple of weeks, first and second leg of the last 16. And this morning, Barcelona and Chelsea. And Barcelona already, after 24 minutes, are really putting an end to Chelsea's hopes in the UEFA Champions League. Already 2-0 up at home after 24 minutes, with Dembele scoring in the 20th minute, and guess who started the rot in the third minute?
Messi. Good run on for Lionel Messi. Oh, he squeaked it in. Well, it's a great start for Barcelona. So they are in front for the first time in this round of 16 matchup with old foes Chelsea.
Absolutely. Already 2-0 up after 24 minutes. Messi and Dembele scoring in the third and 20th minute there. Of course, that's 3-1 on aggregate now. And Chelsea have got a mountain to climb to get through this tie now and go further in the competition. Looks like Barcelona have got that wrapped up. The other game this morning already completed. Bayern Munich won 3-1 at Besiktas. And with Wagner scoring the third and final goal for Bayern.
And here is the opportunity for Bayern Munich to maybe finish things off. It's James Rodriguez, Alaba, and Sandro Wagner does finish things off. 3-1 to Bayern Munich, 8-1 on aggregate, and Besiktas' fire has finally been doused.
Absolutely. The Turks were very brave in this competition, playing very, very well in the group stages, getting through to this stage. But the quality of Bayern Munich in the end, 3-1 winners away there in Turkey against Besiktas. And, of course, we've got some other games in big leagues around Europe played this morning. Of course, Juventus and Atalanta, the final score there was 2-0 with Matuidi scoring the really clinching goal in the 81st minute.
Wonderful ball into the path of Dybala, who looks up, pulls the ball back. Matuidi! And there is is the second for Juventus. And that will take them 4 points ahead of Napoli at the top of the table. And they can sense another title is on the way.
Yeah, a lot of joy there for Juventus supporters. Heartbreak for me because they're 4 points ahead of Napoli in the Serie A, and we had big hopes for Napoli, but it looks like Juventus have got their act together with a 2-0 win there at Atalanta. Higuain scoring in the 29th minute, Matuidi scoring in the 81st minute to make that 2-0. Of course, in France Ligue 1, Paris Saint-Germain played earlier today also, and the full-time score there was 2-1 against Angers. Of course, Mbappe scored in the 12th minute and the 25th minute there. So big games in European competition. Just repeating in the Champions League after 27 minutes, Barcelona are 2-0 up already against Chelsea, that making it 3-1 on aggregate, and look like that Barcelona will be going through even at this early stage of this game. And of course, Bayern Munich are winning 3-1 away from home at Besiktas, and they've quite clearly going through to the next stage. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to catch up with OptusSport, host of all their EPL coverage, Richard Bayliss, here on Calcio Cafe on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24-7, this is FNR Football Nation Radio, broadcasting live across Australia and live across the world. This is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. Those people looking for an updated score in the UEFA Champions League, it's Barcelona 2 and Chelsea 0 after 31 minutes. 3-1 on aggregate at the moment. Looks like Barcelona will go through. And earlier today, Besiktas lost 3-1 to Bayern Munich at home. So Bayern's through, and the courageous Turks are out of the competition for now. Coming up very, very soon on the Calcio Cafe, we've got the Cove FC, a South Australian football club on Club Corner. But first, Optus Sports delivers Premier League fans live games, exclusive highlights and wall-to-wall shows featuring insights from expert commentators on the ground in the UK. It's also the only place you can watch every match of the English Premier League live at home in venues and on the go, data-free. And joining us today to chat all things EPL is the host of the Optus coverage, Richard Bayliss. Good morning to you, Richard.
Morning, Carlos.
Yeah, it's really great to speak to you this morning, mate. Even after masterminding a fantastic win for Manchester United over bitter rivals Liverpool on the weekend, the experts and the pundits are turning on Jose Mourinho for a change. And after their elimination from the Champions League yesterday at the hands of Sevilla, it looks like he's under a lot of pressure at the moment. So I believe he just signed an extension to his contract. Do you think he's at all in trouble there at Manchester United?
Yeah, he brings it upon himself, doesn't he, Jesse? I mean, the way that they play, but also the comments that he made in particular after that defeat at Old Trafford was, I was going to say remarkable, but I guess you shouldn't really be surprised with the stuff that Mourinho comes out with. My instinct yesterday, and I know speaking to Michael Bridges and just a couple of guys generally about it in the office, it was like, when does he come in trouble? Because yeah, okay, they're second in the league, and it's also important to remember they did win some silverware. They won a couple of trophies last season. But surely, given the way they play and just how far away they are from, you know, City, I just don't know if he is actually on as firm a ground as you would think, given, as you say, he's on that extended contract. Since Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola have come into the Premier League, it's a different league all of a sudden in terms of the way that football's being played, and you know, it's not just this one-dimensional, not that it ever was completely, but, you know, when Sir Alex Ferguson was winning with Manchester United, things were a little bit simpler, perhaps, and he was playing a more attacking style, but there weren't the continental kind of influences that there are there now. I mean, Arsene Wenger was probably the most unique kind of manager at the time. So I think that will be what will sort of force Manchester United's hand. If they don't get the results, it'll be the fact that they are so far away from a Liverpool and Manchester City, even though, yeah, they beat Liverpool on the weekend. But that was so different, wasn't it, against Sevilla? I mean, the fans that would have went into Old Trafford yesterday, their hopes so high after that win against Liverpool, they would have left completely dejected after the performance they put in.
And it is a performance that, I think is something that really, really upsets people, because Manchester United aren't only a team that's used to winning, but also winning in style, and especially at home. I mean, they talk about the European nights, how they have these great moments or these great games over the generations, you know, in European football. And we remember also after the Munich air disaster, you know, how important the European football was for them, winning the European Cup in 1968. It just means so much to that club. And to put in a performance like yesterday with no style, and then having a manager who comes out with all sorts of, you know, I mean, the points he were making about what he was saying after the game, about the fact that, well, look, I've beaten Manchester United before in European competition, so this is nothing new. I mean, what was that all about?
That was insane. I mean, to say that, yeah, he'd done it with Porto and Real Madrid and the club, as in Manchester United, should be used to this by now. That's him just turning it, making it about himself. I mean, if anything, he shouldn't be making it about himself, because he's just overseen a pretty ordinary defeat and performance. So that's just the way his mind ticks, I think. But, you know, you're right when you talk about those European nights, and it's such a part of the fabric of the club. I mean, winning in 68 was crucial to their, you know, what happened after the Munich air disaster, and that was almost them proving to football, hey, we're back. And ever since, you know, winning it a few times, it's meant that it's just been part of who they are. And I think as much as their home form is important, or the way they play, I should say, at home, this defeat was very much set up away by not trying to score in the away leg. And almost giving... Yeah, it gave Seville a lot of respect and credit on the road, but thinking just arrogantly that, yeah, we'll just win at home because that's what we do. I mean, Sevilla are European experts, really. I mean, they won three Europa Leagues in a row. That's remarkable. So to set up like that and just think that would work, sometimes it does, obviously, like on the weekend, but... You know, I think this defeat will have a lot of Mourinho's critics at Old Trafford, you know, on his back for a long time, because he won't get another opportunity that right. I mean, they're going to finish second in the league at best, a long way behind City. And chances are City will win the league when they play against Manchester United in just a few weeks' time. So that will make it even more acute.
Yeah, the noisy neighbours, you know, winning the league against their competitors, their rivals, fierce rivals. That'd be really interesting. Richard, I'd love for your opinion on this. Why has it been so hard to get back on regular winning ways for Manchester United since Sir Alex Ferguson's moved on? I mean, we've had David Moyes, all very different managers. David Moyes, Louis van Gaal, now Jose Mourinho. You know, van Gaal and Mourinho are used to winning at all levels of football. David Moyes was probably someone that Sir Alex Ferguson anointed as someone who could grow into the job. So very, very different. But has the club not supported these managers? Because they are very good managers in their own right. They just couldn't do the job, or they're not. Well, Jose might end up doing the job there at Man U, but at the moment, not doing it. You know, why is it so hard? You know, big club, a lot of money, they can buy any player they want.
Yeah, well, I wish I knew the answer, to be honest. I mean, I think one thing you have to do is really kind of take your hat off to what Sir Alex Ferguson did and what he built up there, because, you know, the run they went on of winning titles and cups, like, that was extraordinary, and that probably is setting the bar way too high for any club. Any manager to come in and emulate that is probably unrealistic. That's maybe the first thing. He had a great group of players as well, Sir Alex Ferguson, and the opposition, while, you know, different times, I mean, we know Newcastle and obviously Arsenal, later Chelsea came in, but there were the opposition there, but there was very rarely it was three or four teams at once. So the goalposts have shifted a little bit, I guess, but what hasn't changed is the expectation at Manchester United. I mean, those fans that have grown up watching, you know, Beckham, Giggs, Scholes, Cole, Van Nistelrooy, you know, tear teams apart. I mean, they're now seeing a situation where the other side of Manchester has that squad or that equivalent, and there are other teams that can do it as well. So the expectation hasn't changed, but, you know, the reality has. It's certainly not a case, I think, that the club hasn't supported Mourinho, because the last two summers, he's spent a lot of money. And you look player for player, there aren't too many guys out there who you would say isn't up to it. But there seems to be an emphasis on attacking players, and they just don't seem to be getting it right. I mean, Lukaku was very hit and miss. Sanchez, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he's played a good game for United since he's been there. He doesn't look to have fit in at all. I think he probably will after the summer, but maybe it just comes down to the actual managers. And, you know, Mourinho, the question has to be asked, has the game, particularly in England, moved beyond him? I think, you know, it's not recruitment. There's money there. There have been some good signings. I think Matic and Bailly have been good signings, but yeah, there have been a few you could question as well.
Of course, Southampton got rid of their manager earlier in the week, Maurizio Pellegrino. Look, he only won once in 17 games, and with eight games left in this season, and Southampton only being 1 point above relegation, you could see in this day and age that he had to go. They're talking about Mark Hughes, though, a guy that was sacked by Stoke earlier in this season, as a guy that might take over. What do you think about that?
Well, I just think it's a merry-go-round again, isn't it? It's the same names, the same guys that just perennially pop up at these jobs. You know, Mark Hughes has a track record of, you know, getting out of a couple of these scraps that he's been in, but from all reports, he's not necessarily the best man manager. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes in a dressing room with basically just got no confidence. Although it has to be said, a lot of that lack of confidence surely came from Pellegrino. I mean, anyone that saw the way he spoke after that defeat to Newcastle, he didn't really inspire much confidence in the Saints fans. The only surprise, really, I guess, is that it took this long. I mean, you're so close to the end of the season now. You might get an instant reaction from a new manager, but they've got some pretty tough fixtures too. Southampton, you know, they've got Arsenal, Man City, and maybe Liverpool off the top of my head. They've got a couple of really tough ones. The next game against West Ham is almost crucial. Almost a, you know, that could be a defining game as well. So it's odd timing. But if they don't change big time, they're well and truly gone because they're just one spot above the relegation zone. And I think the common consensus is that Crystal Palace, who are in the bottom three, are good enough to get out. So Southampton, the way they're going, it's remarkable they're not in the bottom three.
Well, with no blockbusters this weekend as such, our attention really turns to what we call the blockbusters of relegation battles. And we've got Huddersfield versus Crystal Palace. And Crystal Palace at different times this season have shown some real quality in beating some of the big teams, but they haven't done it enough. That's why they're in that situation they're in at the moment. But Huddersfield's another one that seemed to be recovering a little bit from a bit of a mid-season lull. With Aaron Moy back too. How do you see that game going?
Yeah, Mark Schwarzer will actually be at that game for us on the weekend. I think it'll be an interesting one for Huddersfield because they played really well against Swansea. And they're the sort of club that you would, you know, look at on paper. Yeah, they've done well. They've punched above their weight. But ultimately, their weight is probably closer to the bottom three. But they seem to have snuck under the radar a little bit of late because of these sort of well-established Premier League clubs that are just falling apart. You know, you look at West Ham, obviously Southampton, Stoke just can't get any traction, and West Brom gone. So, you know, I think Huddersfield, they should be okay if they can play like they did last week, but they're just not consistent. But there's also, having said that, there's a lot of pressure on Crystal Palace to go there and get a result because they've just played Tottenham, Manchester United and Chelsea, and they've lost all three when they've played really well. Which, you know, they were free swings in a way, those matches. But now when it comes to a game where you have to get points, the pressure has to sort of tell a little bit. So if they can come through this game, it will be massive for Palace. But if they don't, any momentum they got from playing well will sort of disappear. So, yeah, very difficult to predict exactly what will happen. But what it does mean is that it'll be a tense atmosphere. It'll be a great game to watch because there's just so much riding on it.
Absolutely, mate. And I love the relegation scraps. And I can't wait till we have a promotion relegation here in Australia because I think that puts so much interest in every game, every round, right to the end of the season. But, Richard, thanks for joining us today. I really enjoy your coverage there with Optus Sport and I really appreciate you being on the show today.
No worries, Carlos. Good to be on.
Good on you, mate. That's Richard Bayless, the host of the Optus Sport coverage of the EPL. And, of course, Optus Sport delivers Premier League fans, live games, exclusive highlights and wall-to-wall shows featuring insights from expert commentators on the ground in the UK. It also is the only place you can watch every match of the English Premier League live at home, in selected venues and on-the-go data-free. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go over to South Australia and speak to the chairman of the Cove FC, Leo DePretis, here on Calcio Cafe on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Increíble! Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24-7, this is FNR Football Nation Radio, broadcasting live across Australia and across the world. This is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. Here at FNR, we're really, really excited to announce that you can now become one of us. That's right, you can be part of the huge voice of football in Australia by becoming an FNR member today. If you love this game and you love FNR, whole of game coverage, you can also become one of us by going to footballnationradio.com and click on the Become a Member link. Be the voice of football and become an FNR member today. For those people out there looking for a progress scores in the UEFA Champions League, Barcelona at halftime are 2-0 up, 3-1 on aggregate, leading at Chelsea, so it looks like it's over there. And of course, earlier on today, Besiktas lost 3-1 at home to Bayern Munich, and Bayern progress to the next level of competition. Coming up very, very soon on in the cafe here with Carlos Alberto Diego. We've got Adelaide United youth team coach Paul Pezos in Planet NPL. But first, let's go over to South Australia and talk to Leah De Prentice, the chairman of the Cove FC Football Club. Good morning to you, Leo.
Good morning, Carlos, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, real pleasure having you on the show this time of the morning, mate. Thanks for being part of it. The Cove FC was founded back in 1983, but I believe they only introduced juniors back in 2010. What's the club look like today?
That's correct, Carlos. Look, the club has grown in leaps and bounds since then. As you mentioned, we started off in 83 as an amateur club. Today, we currently have around 22 junior teams, and those range from ages 6 to up to 16s, and of course we have 3 senior teams as well.
What's led to the growth there, Leo? That's a huge growth, even though it has been, you know, a few decades. The 22 teams is a fair amount of registered players plus families to cater for every week.
It is. Look, I think it's mainly due to the area. We're located in the southern area of Adelaide. It's a huge growth area. Lots of kids, lots of families moving in. The area's grown in leaps and bounds. So, and I think it's that and the attraction of the game that we have to the local community has really helped the club grow.
And the transition from amateur, you know, an amateur setup, again, when you first started, to now state league competition. I mean, people talk about state league competition not necessarily being the top competition, but you are semi-professional of sorts and no doubt taking the football very, very serious, especially in the senior teams. What's that transition been like?
It's been, obviously it's been tough. I mean our roots come from the amateur side of things. But look, it's a great competition. It's a tough competition. We've got the three leagues here in SA. We've got the Premier League, State League 1 and State League 2. And with relegation and promotion, we do have some teams that come down, teams that grow up. It's tough. It's a fairly even competition as well. But look, the transition's been a good one. I think our ability to attract talented players to the club is well known, and it has been over the last few years. We've got some great coaching staff in place. And it's made the transition a little bit easier. But definitely a challenge from year to year.
With teams or clubs that grow like yours, I'm always interested in the women's programs and the girls' programs you might offer. How are those programs? How many girls do play for the club? And do you need to go promote very widely for the girls, or do they just come to your club?
Oh, look, it's like anything, Carlos. You need to promote. You need to let people know that you're out there, let people and the community know what you're doing. We've had some really good success with the girls' teams. We currently have 4 junior girls' teams. That's under 11s, 13s, 15s and 17s. And we're looking over the next 1 to 2 years to be able to nominate a senior women's team as well. So we're going to grow that from within. That's part of our club mission, I guess, and our policy is to, you know, for homegrown sort of talented players rather than going outside the club. So we're looking at doing that over the next couple of years and, you know, retaining those girls who are playing with us at the moment. And I guess the opportunity is there for them to be part of the first women's senior team that we're hopefully looking to nominate either in 2019 or 2020, just depending on the growth.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Leo. I love the idea of having homegrown girls playing and graduating into your first senior team. I think there'd be a lot more passion around that and a lot more ownership by the girls if that had happened. Also, with 22 teams and then many of them junior teams, I'd imagine there'd be a diversity of kids and the reason why they might play. I mean, some obviously go there and have fun with their friends and just want to be active every weekend, but others might want to go on to be elite footballers down the track. Do you have an elite program to cater for those sort of footballers?
Look, we do. The great thing about the club, what we've introduced in the last few years is we've got two clinics that we run. We have an academy clinic and we also have a school holiday clinic. The school holiday clinic is, I guess, is more focused on kids in the local community. So, you know, kids from anywhere in our community and outside the community can join into the holiday clinics. The academy is probably a little bit more specialised and it probably caters more for the players that we currently have. And it gives them that elite pathway that where they can really hone in on their skills, develop their skills, and grow. And that's something that we've done at the club probably for the last few years now, and it's been very successful for us.
Well, of course, the challenges for clubs like yours that are growing so quickly and so impressively is having enough facilities for them, you know, having the right facilities. How's the challenge over facilities going with you? And I suppose with that, how's your partnership or your association with the local council like?
Yeah, look, we've been very fortunate, Carlos. We've got a fantastic relationship with our local council. That's the Marion Council here in Adelaide. Look, facilities is always an issue. You know, with so many kids and generally, and that's probably an issue that a lot of the clubs have, where we just have that issue with space and finding grounds and reserves that we can play on. The club itself, we're actually still playing on the same ground that we started on as an amateur club. So believe it or not, the Cove FC, we share our complex with the AFL code, with netball, cricket, you know, BMX and that sort of thing. So we actually still have the one senior pitch at our club. Our junior squads actually train and play close by on another reserve that they've made their own junior grounds. Our girls play separately again, and they play at another reserve as well. So, look, it has been tough, but fortunately for us, recently in the last 12 months, the state government, in conjunction with the local council and the Football Federation of SA, have actually announced a brand new development, a $5 million development that's happening probably about 5 minutes up the road from us, that's going to cater not only for our club, but for, you know, for other clubs in the area. And we're looking forward to calling that our new home ground, and that's going to incorporate anywhere between 2 to 4 pitches, training facilities, stands, after game facilities and that sort of thing. So we're really looking forward to that. Hopefully we're looking at that, the commencement of that to be built this season, and us hopefully moving in the next 1 to 2 years. So that's a great thing for our club, a great coup for the club. And definitely needed.
Leo, tell me about the pride that you have when something like that gets over the line, because it's a legacy for future generations. Way after, you know, in 30 years' time, when you finish being chairman of the club and you pass it on to someone else, this facility is here for good. You must be really proud that you and your team have been able to secure something like this.
Yeah, really proud, Carlos. And I must admit, mate, if I'm going to be there 30 years from now, they're going to have to build a retirement village for me as well. It's just a reflection on the hard work by committee and volunteers. You know, it's not just our club. Most clubs are built on volunteers. But, you know, you have a small core group of your senior coaching staff who are paid staff generally. Apart from that, the whole club is run on volunteers. So the hard work that goes into that, and that's not just, you know, the current committee and volunteers. It's previous committee, previous people. You know, we look at the legacies that have been left behind by the guys who established the club, you know. and the work, the hard work that they did, and it's look, it's just it's a fantastic feeling. And it's great to have that support from the community. It's great to have that support from council. And yeah, it does. It gives you a nice feeling, because it's not only us, it's our kids. My son actually plays at the club as well. He's come up through the ranks. He started there, I think, under nines. Mm. So he's been at the club for 7 years now. And it's a great legacy to leave behind, not only for the current players, but for the kids coming into the area, and those kids not even in the area yet. And, you know, what a great way to enjoy, you know, what we consider to be the greatest game in the world.
And, Leo, your kids' kids are the ones that I'm thinking of too. So it's something that starts and it could just grow and grow. We won't take you 30 years ahead. We'll just take you 10 years ahead. What's the club going to look like in 10 years' time?
Oh, look, you know, we've got a mission in place where we're wanting to, believe it or not, in the next, probably our goals in the next 3 to 5 years is to double our junior numbers. We're looking at, you know, we're looking at somewhere between 500 to 600 junior players in the next 3 to 5 years. Obviously, you know, the club always looks for promotion. We want to be the best at what we do. We want to be, you know, we want to be the best club in the South when it comes to Adelaide, and we're close to that. So I guess in the next 3 to 5 years, it's about development. It's about building those numbers up, giving every junior player, male, female, the opportunity to play the game at the best club. And that's what we're about.
Good on you, Leo. Look, I love what you're doing there at the Cove FC. The club's just growing and growing, and the challenge now is to make sure you have the facility and you provide a fantastic coaching and relationship service for the families that you're attending to. But congratulations to you and your team for what you've done, and I appreciate you coming on the show this morning.
Thanks again, Carlos, and appreciate the opportunity. Have a great day.
You too, mate. That's Leo DePretis, the chairman of the Cove FC, a massive club and just continues to grow there in South Australia. Now let's talk a little bit of Power and the Passion.
Oh, that is breathtaking!
FNR. Football Nation Radio.
Yeah, you're on Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. You're listening to your voice of football throughout Australia and across the world, FNR Football Nation Radio. And on the line, we have a man who is associated with the Avondale FC in Melbourne, the NPL club in Melbourne, doing wonderful things in their community. And I talk of Bill Magarelli. Good morning to you, Billy. Are you there, Bill?
Mate, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, mate. Can you hear me
clearly? Good morning, Carlos. How are you?
I'm really, really well, mate. So thanks for joining us this morning. Now, we had actually Avondale FC's coach, senior coach yesterday, Anthony Barbieri, on the show.
Yep.
And it seems like you guys are nearly owning FNR. You're on every day almost. But I thought it was really important to talk about some of the initiatives that Avondale are doing that maybe other clubs and other people in the community would love to hear about. And of course, one that I'd like to talk about today is the Fairburn Park facility that's opening, I believe, this weekend.
Yes, it is, Carlos. So we've been working quite hard with the council. The council have actually come on board and developed this fantastic facility at Fairburn Park. We're opening it up this Saturday from 1 till 4. So we invite all interested female players and all families to come celebrate the opening of the new Fairburn Park facility and sports precinct with an afternoon of fun for the whole family.
Fantastic,
Bill. Performances and giveaways.
Yeah, and now, Bill, with this facility, obviously the club Avondale has been growing and moving around a little bit with grounds because of the fact that you've got so many kids now playing. Of course, you've got your senior teams playing at the top level of NPL. How important was this facility to the club, and what will it specifically be catering for?
Yeah, well, you're right. The club has grown hugely, and in order to take a little bit of pressure off our home base at Doyle Street, we've opened the female side of the business or the football is growing hugely, and that's what this is all about predominantly. So our commitments to female football sees us in conjunction with the council to have this facility. We found that participation rates you know, are growing around the country with females, but not so much in Moonee Valley, where the ratio is 11 to 1, 11 female. Oh, sorry, 11 males to 1 male. Sorry, 11 females, I should say, Ralph. We want to reduce that, and part of this will obviously help us to get more people. So we've got two squads, or we had two squads last year. We have four this year. Our female teams, we've got at the moment under 8s, 10s, 12s, looking to fill under 14s. So we want people to come down, register. I must say we have the cheapest registration in the land, $249, Carlos.
So how does an NPL club manage to do that? Because obviously a lot of the NPL programs around Australia, there's a bit of criticism about how much the kids have to pay or the parents have to pay. How do you manage to keep those fees down so low?
No, that's exactly right. And again, because of the growth of female football, we've been able to attract some obviously different type of partners who have come on board and been able to reduce this. And again, $249 is cheap, thanks to our great partners at the club.
Fantastic. So as far as the female program's concerned, what do you guys promise to deliver as part of your female program?
Okay. Well, we've got a quality coaching program. We've got some great coaches there. Avondale have developed a coaching program called the Blueprint. And so the females, the NPL males, as well as the females, will be using this Blueprint program. I'll go into it a little bit more just on the facilities. What's going to attract the females is obviously first-class facilities. There's going to be new lighting and female-specific amenities, healthy eating canteens, social areas. If we're going to the, pardon me, the Blueprint, which is the coaching side of things. Sorry for my throat, mate. Just woke up. Pardon me. Yes, so again, the girls will be using the same program as the boys. And we've got things like monthly specific topics that they work on. So the coaches will get together and work on a topic for the month. It could be defensive, for example.
Yep.
And all coaches across the board will do that. So we've got plans in place, strategies, things like that.
It's great that you've got the infrastructure now, Bill, with the Fairburn Park facility, but also the announcements, I think, in December last year that the senior teams will be playing at Reggio Calabria Club in Brunswick. I spoke to Anthony about this yesterday. I think it's fantastic the way Avondale's dealing with its facility shortage by moving on and having these partnerships in and around the region to be able to cater for people. So that Reggio Calabria Club announcement was really exciting for the club, wasn't it?
Oh, that's a huge coup for the club. I was there a few weeks ago. We had a function there, and the food and the viewing area is just A-class. Once we put a few more plans into place, it's only stage one, so grandstand, etc. It's going to take, again, pressure off Doyle Street. It's going to attract more people to the club. It's going to be a huge... one of the best NPL facilities, that's for sure, Charlie Carlos.
Good on you, Bill. I'd let you get away and rest that throat, mate, because you look like you sound like you're dying out there. But look after yourself, mate. All the best to all the people there at Avondale for all the great work they're doing, building this infrastructure and also forging these partnerships to get more facility for all your players. Thanks for joining us today, Bill.
No, thanks, Carlos. I just quickly want to say thank you, FNR. And I urge all people to get on board and join your membership. You've done great work for all of us. Thanks very much.
On you, Bill. Thanks very much there, mate. That's Bill Magarelli from the Avondale FC Football Club, who is doing some such wonderful things in the community and also for all the players they have at the club, forging these facilities and these areas for people to play and also forging these fantastic partnerships with others to make sure that they've got the best possible facility. Now let's talk a little bit of UEFA Champions League.
Oh, that is breathtaking!
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, on the line we've got FNR's very own Adriano Del Monte to talk about the UEFA Champions League this morning and also throughout the competition. Good morning to you, Adriano.
Good morning, Carlos.
Mate, your throat doesn't sound any better than Bill's.
No, no worse at all. It's been a long few days, plenty of action across the Champions League. Just started the second half at Barcelona, 2-0 they lead it against Chelsea. Been a very interesting first half. Chelsea have actually come to play, but unfortunately, Lionel Messi's fastest goal ever in his career, would you believe, after just a couple of minutes, got Barcelona rolling very early, and it's been their advantage ever since. Dembele, of course, the youngster who joined from Borussia Dortmund, scoring on 20 minutes, a wonderful goal after a glorious assist by Messi as well. So Barcelona leading comfortably on the score sheet, but credit to Chelsea because they've really come to play and have had a couple of chances of their own. So 2-0 it stands. Unfortunately for Chelsea, they will need to score at least two to have any chance of progressing, of course, after the 1-1 result from the first leg. So 40 minutes remain. We've just entered the 50th minute at the Nou Camp, but Barcelona appear to be cruising towards another quarter final.
It's interesting. Obviously, everyone's talking about the future of Antonio Conte. He's had his problems with internally with the club, with the directors, and also with the transfer policy there at Chelsea. And he's forever, you know, bringing that up in the media. We all thought that probably his lifeline would be going quite deep into this competition. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Do you think his job may well be at risk during the season rather at the end of the season? I think we're all accepting that he'll probably move on at the end of the season, but could they maybe make a move on him beforehand, given that the top four in the English Premier League is not guaranteed for him?
Yeah, potentially. Obviously, the difficulty is in a situation like that, well, then who would you replace him with? He's had an okay recent couple of weeks. Obviously, a couple of defeats in the league against the Manchester clubs in that span, but I don't think there's any sense now in moving him on between now and the end of the season. Obviously, drawing against Barcelona at this stage of the competition was always going to be difficult. For me, Barcelona are the favourites to win the Champions League this season, and they're proving again why they are one of the world's best clubs over the best part of the last decade. But I think Conte is safe for the rest of the campaign, but I'm with you there in the fact that I don't think we'll see him leading the club next season. But look, a lot of pressure on him and all the EPL managers recently, because if they are to bow out here, incredibly, they did break the record, the EPL clubs, this season, with five of them advancing to the round of 16. That had never happened before in the UEFA Champions League. However, if they are to bow out and join a couple of their opposition from the EPL who have bowed out at this stage, it will be the most ever clubs to bow out from the round of 16, which will be obviously three. So with City and Liverpool progressing, the pressure is mounting on Mourinho and, of course, Conte here at Chelsea. Tottenham, not so much. They were very unlucky. But, yeah, certainly a lot of work still to do. 40 minutes remain. They've just had a half opportunity, Chelsea, going forward. But, yeah, the pressure mounting on Conte. And, again, I don't think we'll see him there next season.
Adriano, what's your opinion about how good this Barcelona team is? Of course, they're killing it in the La Liga by street, but compared to some of the great Barcelona teams of the past who've gone on to win a lot of trophies, where does this team sit?
This team sits with Lionel Messi because in terms of what you see on the pitch, they're as good as we've seen. Obviously, lacking a Xavi, who arguably the greatest central midfielder in the history of the game, but this side is as good as we've seen, and it's unbelievable to think that this is a season that they actually lost Lionel Messi, who, of course, made the switch to Paris Saint-Germain, because had they had him, obviously, they looked a lot more attractive going forward. But Lionel Messi is taking his game up a notch, would you believe, at this season. Luis Suarez has been brilliant as a provider and a goal scorer as well. The introductions now of Dembele and Coutinho into the fold. I think this Barcelona side is as strong as we've seen, but that's purely down to Lionel Messi's form being at the level it has been, and he maintaining that level over the journey. So I don't see any signs of them slowing up anytime soon. There's rumours linking them to Antoine Griezmann of Atletico Madrid in the summer. And if he were to join this club, you know, another top 10 player in world football, this Barcelona side can continue their dominance over European football for many years to come.
And of course, today is the last match day of the round of 16, and it's become pretty clear who's going through, obviously, because they're all the match days more recently in the last week or so have been the second legs of these games. Which team, in your mind, irrespective of what their domestic form is like, which team has looked good for you? I mean, Real Madrid obviously getting over PSG, but they're not great in the La Liga, but are they a chance, for example?
Yeah, you can never count out Real Madrid, of course. They've won the last couple of Champions League crowns and gunning for a third to become the first team to win a European Cup three times in a row in a long time. You can never rule them out. But for me, I cannot go past Barcelona and Bayern Munich. These two sides both, of course, were in action today. Bayern Munich winning against Besiktas 3-1, 8-1 on aggregate. Bayern and Barcelona, for me, are just at a completely different level from the rest. The field is very strong going into the final eight. All eight sides have really earned their spot, whether by facing a difficult opponent in the round of 16 or coming through a very tricky group. But Barcelona and Bayern Munich, I would love to see them drawn in the quarter-final or semi-final stage of this competition, because that would be one of the great ties in Champions League history. A couple of sides at the top of their game playing really, really good football. I just really can't go past Bayern or Barca. If you ask me to tip one, Barca are brilliant. Watching them now, it's always a pleasure to watch, but I'd probably tip Bayern Munich. I feel that the German clubs haven't had as much success as they would have liked in recent seasons, and I think under their new manager, Heinkes, who of course replaced Carlo Ancelotti earlier in the campaign, I think they're very hungry to make their mark on the European scene this season.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Jupp Heynckes ended up winning the Champions League after he was replaced a few years ago, and he was very unhappy about it because they wanted to have someone winning a Champions League?
Yeah, it'd be a remarkable story. Of course, Bayern parting ways with Ancelotti earlier in the campaign. For him to come back and have that success, it certainly would be a great story, and they're going to be well and truly in it.
Good on you, Adriano. Thanks for joining us this morning. Of course, you've got the Euro show from 1 p.m. Eastern today, and I love your show. I love the debate. I love the argument. I want to hear you guys go at it today, but thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Good on you, mate. That's Adriano Del Monte, FNR's very own. Of course, the Euro show is on every day, Monday to Thursdays from 1 p.m. Eastern. Join the boys. It's a terrific, terrific show. That brings it into Calcio Cafe for today. You can podcast the shows on iTunes and SoundCloud. So until this time tomorrow, may you have a fantastic day in football.
Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.